You are listening to episode 132 of the Africana Woman podcast, MAD, Make a Difference, with Samantha Mokgwe. My name is Chulu, your host. Let's go. Hello, beautiful babe. This is the season 5 finale. How did we get here so quickly? What have you loved about this season? Please find me on socials at Africana Woman and let me know. Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, it's Africana Woman. Find us and just tell us, what is it that you have loved about this season? So last week I was in Indola because I was invited to be a keynote speaker at the Sunflower 4th edition. It was an incredible experience. Indola is my hometown, so it was very, very special to be able to be a keynote for the first time and at home. What? It was beautiful. Lady Nomsa and the Arise in Purpose Women's Network, you are doing amazing work. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Thank you so much for the invitation. And thank you for just being an amazing, amazing audience and so welcoming. Thank you. I really do appreciate it. Now, if you are on the Copper Belt, I highly recommend you tap into that community, Arise in Purpose Women's Network. As we end the season of the Africana Woman podcast, we are starting a thrilling journey to the Africana Woman Festival on the 2nd to the 3rd of August, 2024. Listen, the lineup of coaches, speakers, and performers is set. They will set that stage on fire. Oh gosh, I'm so excited. So come 1st of June to 1st August, that is all we're going to be talking about on a limited podcast series called the Africana Woman Festival, hashtag secure your future. We are going to be giving you the scoop on why you should be there, what to wear. We have giveaways and we have surprises, okay? Sis, this is going to be epic. At any given time, you can go to africanawoman.com/festival to learn more. In fact, you can get your ticket today. Today, baby. Today, okay? For our community outside of Zambia, honey, we got you a 12% discount on your business and economy class fares with Ethiopian Airlines. We also have amazing deals for your accommodation. Go to africanawoman.com/festival to get all the details. So guys, even though this season is ending, we are still going to have an amazing, amazing podcast series. So it's a limited edition. It's going to be fun. We're going to play some games. Cannot miss this. The personal brand course is back and it is rebranded. We have rebranded the personal brand course. Yes. Here's the thing. We were running the personal brand course as live classes. However, with the power crisis here in Zambia and maybe in some other countries, we realized that we have to rethink the way that we deliver this to you, but still maintain that high quality of knowledge. You need to level up your brand. So we have cut the bi-weekly live classes and are making the course available as an audio on demand. This means that you can work on it at your own pace, and more specifically, you can do the course when you have power. Now, We know in-person conversations also make a huge difference. Therefore, I will be hosting live Q&As every Wednesday, which any of our course students can attend to ask questions in real time and get a response straight away. The course officially opens on 14th June, so sign up now. This is one of the best decisions you will make in 2024 because we go beyond logos and colors and we really get to the core of who you are. What is your driving force and how do we package you as a unique being? So go to AfrikanaWoman.com or check the show notes to sign up. Now, here's something that I'm very, very excited about. We're doing a beautiful creative project. So we are making a cookbook and we need your help to contribute a recipe to it. We would love to share recipes from all over Africa. So I'm challenging you to share your culture with the world. Email AfrikanaWoman@gmail.com if you would like to be part of the Africana Woman Cookbook. You can tell how much we love food in Africana Woman, okay? In June alone, we have #LunchAndLearn in Mongu on the 8th of June and #LunchAndLearnKitwe on the 29th of June. And then in Lusaka, the book lovers are meeting at their quarterly party on the 22nd of June. And there's always divine food. Like, yo, guys, food comas every single week. It's a good thing I go to the gym because sure. Okay, let us get to the conversation for today. You will absolutely love our guest today. I have been a fan for a very, very long time, thanks to Flavor Dome. She is multi-talented. She is a trendsetter. She is expansive. Please meet the incredible Samantha Mohwe. Samantha Mohwe is born to a Motswana father and a Zambian mother. She brings a fused element of neo, soul, and R&B to her artistry. Having been raised to appreciate poetry and performing arts, she was exposed to music at an early age and was also encouraged to tell stories through music writing and poetry. She is a multifaceted individual who places great value to edification and reinventive qualities. She holds a degree in theology and has also gone on to study music with the Trinity College of London. She is a singer-songwriter and has been in the music industry since 2013. She is a wife and a mother of two, a voice coach, businesswoman, and fitness enthusiast. Please, guys, help me welcome Samantha Mohwe to the Africana Woman mic. Hi.
Hi, Chulu. How are you?
You don't even understand how excited I am. Please, I don't know how to explain this. So now, I think you've probably heard this plenty of times, but I will still tell my story. Yeah? So how I came across you was, you know, back in the day, well, maybe it's still going on now. You know, when you fail to pay your DSTV for the subscription and then there's only the free channels.
Channels.
So BTV is the free channel. Né? So we used to watch BTV on those months, but then always Flavor Dome was our like staple on Friday. And listen, when Transition came out, I was just like, you, this girl can sing. I was sold.
so sold. Like, oh my goodness. So when the team and I were coming up with names for who we could have on the podcast, we're like, okay, someone from Botswana. And I was like, oh my God, there's this amazing singer from there. And then I was like, yeah. So I just threw your name there. And then you said yes. I was like, you guys, Samantha said yes. I was so charmed. So I have been a fan for the longest, like, trust.
Wow, thank you. The power of media, the power of media across
Right?
borders, across continents, across divides. So I love
Right?
it. Thank you so much. It's
Yeah.
crazy, isn't it?
It is. And then this is only when I've learned that your mom is Zambian. And
Yes.
we're talented
And
in Zambia.
actually, my first name is Bualia. That's my
Really?
first name. Yes, that's my first
Oh,
name.
so
But
she's
now the problem,
Bemba.
yes, she's Bemba. She's actually from the Copper Belt area. And my two older siblings were born in Zambia. And
Yeah.
then I was born in Botswana. And it's so interesting because my dad's family stayed in Zambia for about 15 years. So they speak Bemba. Yeah, they are Batswana who speak Bemba. My grandparents used to start schools and help schools get off the ground. So
That is so cool. Okay, my first question is always, what is your favorite childhood memory?
a difficult one, hey? Yo, that's a difficult one. I think maybe because we're approaching festive and Christmas time, maybe I can draw back into like the Christmas memories. Christmas was such a special time because family, just being able, I don't know if this is a thing across other African countries, but with Christmas, you'd think Christmas clothes, you'd think special meals for Christmas. That was like a staple. And just being around the extended family, cousins. And that was for Christmas when we're spending time with family. Now, some Christmas memories when my mom decided, okay, we're going to just stay in Gaborone, the capital city. We would spend Christmas with some family friends from all over Africa. So there was a good mix of Nigerians, a good mix of Ghanaians, a good mix of East Africans. And we would do this thing where 2 weeks before Christmas would pick, I don't know if you know about the Santa hat. Do you pick a name? Yes. And then you buy a gift for somebody in that group. And then we'll go to like a park outside of town where every family brings like food to share. So I think for me, the best memories were around spending time with loved ones and getting new clothes.
No, do you know what? Christmas is like, I think it's the same in almost every African country where, like, back in our day, like, you know, when we were kids, you either knew it was like the
Yes.
kilo rice and then the
What?
coleslaw, the chicken, the what, you know, you even know the menu, the potato salad, all of that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, that sounds like so much fun. But on the topic of clothes, fashion, girl, you are always on point. So I've got two questions. So first, I'll ask the first one is, I guess, what is your so for example, when I look at your music videos and your just when you show up anywhere, right? You're always I'd say fashion, like a fashion step ahead, kind of, you know, like a trendsetter. And I wonder if is it something that is innate, or you're working with a team and you've got this fabulous stylist that's with you, or how do you do it? Do you know what I mean?
It's both. It's actually both. So just like you, when DSTV was paid for, I don't know if you know the fashion channel. I don't know if you remember the fashion channel. So I used to spend time watching, don't ask me why, as a kid, I was watching fashion channel. And actually at one point, when I was done with high school, I was actually I applied to go to fashion school in Malaysia, and I had been accepted, but I didn't go because I think a part of me felt like it was too far. It was too far, and my mom made a statement like, "Oh my goodness, Malaysia is so far." And I was like, okay, maybe I can come back to fashion some other time. So I decided to go to school in South Africa instead because it was closer to home. But I think I just enjoyed fashion, and I enjoyed seeing what clothes look like on different bodies. And then I also took time to kind of see what looks and feels good on my body. Like, obviously, I think that's the beauty of us being different as African women. Sometimes certain things look good on certain people. Certain things will look good on you, Chulu, but it won't necessarily look good on me because of the frame of my body. And so I took time to kind of have an appreciation of, okay, this type of outfit could possibly look good on me, this type won't. And I think also it comes with age, just appreciating what you look like the older you get, and knowing that, you know what, these clothes look good on you. That's and you know, I say both because I also work with a team of people. I make sure that I shuffle them around because it gets a bit busy. So we plan ahead. There's one favorite fashion designer, sister of mine called Lesedi Matlapeng, who owns a fashion house called Kev City. She's amazing when it comes to like haute couture and very like future forward kind of outfit. So if I have specific events that I know that, okay, I want to try something different, you know, I trust her. So I go to her, and then she kind of asks me, okay, what type of event is this? And we have like a consult, and then she goes out and sources things. And most times I have to trust her. And I think that's just the years that we've spent working together, there's a level of trust. There are times where she says, okay, you're gonna wear this, and I'm like, I don't know. And then I try it on and I'm like, oh wow, actually, you know what you're talking about. She's like, yeah, you need to stop arguing with me. If I say you're gonna wear this, you're gonna wear this. Then there's another fashion designer who I also work with sometimes. Her name is Lorato Lolo, and she is absolutely amazing. So with her, she makes like designer wear, but I love her, her day looks. Her day looks are very, very good. So I also work with her. Then for your day-to-day wear, I work with another lady from Suzy Boutique. So yeah, I shuffle I shuffle them depending on what's going on, and also depending on scheduling. So yeah, that's what it's a
Well,
mixture
I'll tell
of
you
people.
something. If you haven't seen Samantha's fashion, I just want to describe it because, you know, the industry that you're in, being music, right? A lot of women want to depend on their body, you know, like flashing certain areas. Maybe things are a bit too short, or anyway, they're short, you know, they're quite revealing. But your fashion is always like, it's sexy, but it's tasteful. You know what I mean? And I just want you to just talk about how you make those types of decisions in, you know, also trusting your talent, because your talent speaks for itself, you know?
I think first and foremost, I always want to be comfortable. I mean, to each his own. Some people are comfortable wearing this. I'm not comfortable with that. The most I'll do that's a bit is maybe a slit or like a low bag, but literally that's me pushing the envelope. And maybe a little bit of fear has helped me because I look for things that are very authentic to who I am. I struggle to sell a lie because there's only so much you can do to keep up with it, you know. So yeah, I like to be comfortable. I don't want any wardrobe malfunctions. I don't want to be trendy. For certain things, I try and avoid it at all costs. So things like, for example, if I'm singing, You have to be mindful of the stage. The stage is usually a bit higher up. So whatever it is that I'm wearing, we have to be mindful that we don't want any photos that are going to be very explicit. So yeah, we do think about those things, but first and foremost, I need to be comfortable. I don't want to look like I'm pulling down skirts. I don't want to look like I'm fixing things. I feel like it's the worst thing that you could be focusing on when you're trying to perform, the wardrobe.
True. Now, I was curious, what made you choose theology? Because I don't think I've actually heard anyone ask you this. So I'm like, okay, theology, why does everyone skip over this?
Yeah. I think for me, it was just an interest of what happens in the spiritual realm. A lot of times I've noticed, especially with education, is we decide that, okay, I'm going to study this and it's just this one thing that I'm going to study. Like if you look at the things that I study, it's very eclectic. It's very eclectic. I've studied music. Right now I'm studying project management. So I've got a very eclectic feel when it comes to the things that I'm studying. So theology, just the understanding of spirituality, understanding of God, and yeah, just the understanding of the spiritual realm. That's what drew me to it, I'm not gonna lie. And I feel like I've had people ask me about, you're always studying this, then you study this. Is there a specific thing? And I feel like sometimes we miss out on truly living because we're so focused on what we study being the only thing that we study. I mean, I think as human beings, we're so multifaceted and multidimensional, and there's nothing wrong with continuously reinventing yourself, right? I see absolutely nothing wrong with it. Maybe it's the creative in me speaking. Maybe also I could also attest to maybe my upbringing and just the privilege of the upbringing that I had, where I was never made to feel like this is the one thing you have to do. And you have to have everything figured out by the time you're done with university at the age of 23, then you get into the working force. My upbringing was never like that. And I guess that's privilege, whereas other people, unfortunately, that's the upbringing that they have. And obviously, because of circumstances, I study what I want. I do what I want. And I go with what feels right and what is building towards the vision. Yeah.
Have you been to Zambia? Like, how often do you come here?
Okay. As kids, we would come to Zambia maybe every year or every 2 years. Then the older I got, it became a bit more difficult. The last time I was there was last year, end of last year. I was supposed to be coming there in December, but things changed because now it's a bit difficult to travel with an entire family. You need to be prepared to pack up the household. And then also because I have a 3-year-old, so traveling with a 3-year-old and traveling during Christmas time, it's just something that I don't want to do that. So yeah, we were supposed to come down during Christmas, but yeah, just the anxiety of traveling during Christmas time. Yeah, so I do try and come to Zambia every year. I've got family in Lusaka, but most of my close family is in Ndola and like the Copper Belt area. I've got cousins in Luansha and Kitwe. So yeah, when we come there, we spend a few days in Lusaka, then make sure we make our way, spend weeks in Ndola. But one thing that I really want to do on my next trip is not just decide, okay, I'm gonna see family. I really want to see Zambia. I really, really want to see Zambia as a whole. I feel like I never get the opportunity to really, really see Zambia and get out of like the usual routes.
So please do. And then if you need recommendations, I am here for all of that.
Sweet.
But have you ever performed? Like, I'm trying to think of a time because I feel like I would know. I would have noticed, like, oh, Samantha Mukwege is coming. I'm like, oh, I'll be there, please.
Yes, kind of. Okay, the last time I was there specifically for a media tour, end of last year. And then I was supposed to perform at some awards. I won't mention any names. I don't want to throw shade at anybody. I was supposed to perform at some awards, and I was, it was just a bit disorganized, and I didn't get to do sound check, and I was just not feeling comfortable. I was like, listen, I can't get on stage without doing sound check, especially, wanting to have started performing in Zambia, and imagine that being the introduction, and what if things go wrong, So I didn't trust that things would go right, because throughout the evening things were not going right for other performers, and I was like, I can't. But I need to make a plan. Definitely when I'm down there, we need to make a plan to meet up. You need to give me recommendations, so that I see where I can slot myself.
So good. Oh my gosh. So I wanted to find out, like, how, what is your creative process, and like, how often do you practice? Like, do you practice with the band, or is it like, okay, you do your own practice? Like, what do you do?
I had rehearsals last night. So I, with band rehearsals, I probably rehearse once a week consistently. I think for us, it's because it's not just about if you have something that you're preparing for. Sometimes we want to change up the music and make it sound different from how we regularly perform it. Sometimes we put together live online sessions, which are very exciting to do, because you're working towards something where there's like a video camera crew and audio recording, and then we load them on YouTube. So I rehearse once a week. Then, interesting enough, on my phone, I always make sure that I have like your vocal warm-ups. I make sure I have vocal warm-ups on my phone. So sometimes when I'm driving, I'll randomly put something, and I'm sure the people who are next to me are on like, especially at traffic lights, I'm sure they're like, okay, what is she doing? What is she doing? So yes, practice once a week and just make sure that I'm comfortable. Sometimes things change on stage. So yeah, my process keeps changing. It depends on what's going on. And then when it comes to recording new music, sometimes I'll be driving and an idea comes. Sometimes I'll be jamming with the band, an idea comes, and then we record it quickly and we're like, okay, we'll get back to it. Sometimes I forcefully have a studio session, or have a producer send me something, and then an idea comes. So it varies. It really varies. It depends on what's going on. It depends on, what's happening.
You're a singer, and songwriter, right? And I just wonder, like, before you did, like, you did you studied music. How were you writing your music? Because I don't know. I love music, but I just can't imagine, like, just coming up with like a song, or like, how do, like, what's the process?
One thing that has really helped me is I like to read. And then also I realized that some of the movies that I watch, like your fiction movies, that like things that won't happen. So I think it really gets my imagination going. And then also, I come from a background where my sister used to be part of these poetry collectives, and as a young teenager, she would drag me along to these poetry connections, and I think that really helped. So watching people create and watching people's writing process, that also helped. But I must say, there's similarities, but sometimes I feel like writing music is more difficult because, your words need to fit, a certain stanza or a bar. It has to fit. And then also it has to make sense. It sometimes you have to simplify, you really have to simplify the process compared to poetry. So yeah, I think it's yeah, the poetry background did help. Reading also helps. And also I feel like I'm good at expressing myself, especially when it comes to writing. I'm very good at doing that. And also just listening to other people's stories and sometimes using that. So you need to be careful what you say to me because I will write a song. I will write a song about it.
Do you think there's a difference when you write a song in Swana versus English? Like how do you treat that?
He likes Setswana so hard. It's so hard. And I feel like I'm judged more by, people here at home. There's the type of music I do, R&B, sometimes becomes difficult to sing in Setswana because Setswana is very guttural. Like there's a lot of and how are you able to communicate, beautiful Setswana lyrics without it being abrasive. But also, once I get it right, it becomes absolutely amazing because Setswana is also very descriptive. It can be very descriptive and poetic. But for the longest time, I struggled. I struggled to write in Setswana, maybe because of self-doubt. Where you're like, okay, is this going to make sense? And also maybe assuming that Batswana will be more self like critical of what it is that I'm communicating. But also what I've done with the process of writing in Setswana is I have a couple of friends who become my sounding board. I'm like, okay, I've written this. Does this make sense? Like if you're listening to it, does it make sense? Is this something that someone can listen to? And then also enunciation and how I'm breaking up the word in a song. Is it sounding okay? Does it sound fluid? So yeah, I make sure that I have maybe two or three people I use as sounding boards before I actually record.
Now, you don't just, I mean, like I mentioned at the beginning when I was reading your bio, you do lots of things, but you also do advocacy, and in the music industry. And I know there was one which you, were involved in, to ensure that the local, stations are playing 80-20 in terms of, 80% being, local musicians and 20% being international musicians. Is there, what are other things that still need to be put in place when it comes to the music industry? She's like, do I have all day?
Where do I start? Where do I start? I think it's important to note that especially the music industry in Botswana is still it's still a baby. We're still yo, there's a lot of teething problems. And I think some people can see it as a good thing. Some people can see it as a bad thing. But there's room for opportunities, there's room for improvement. And the great thing about it being in its infancy is we still can take learning curves from our counterpart countries. For example, like in South Africa, I know a lot of us look up to a lot of what's going on in South Africa, even though they have their own issues. Every country has its own issues, but I think we take a lot from that side. Over the past few years, we've had an establishment of an organization called Cosbots, and they are the ones who make sure that royalties are paid to artists. But of course, you have to be a member and have to register your things. We've got things such as CIPA, where it's the Copyright Society, where when you have music put out, you need to make sure that your stuff is protected, your intellectual property is protected. There's still so many things that we can still improve on. The processes aren't the best, but for example, just I think teaching our people to take this as a business. For example, in the business world, you're told about the importance of networking, you're told about the importance of branding. And these are conversations that we also need to push in the music industry here because it is a business, it is work. And so, there has to be processes thought out for artists as brand. Okay, what are you going to do when you're releasing music? Is there a plan? Is there a plan when you are approaching various stakeholders like your corporates who you're trying to partner with? Is it done in a corporate way, in a language that speaks business? And also just having people also see you as a business, because sometimes there's just casual, how can I say it? It's like so casual. You'll tell somebody, I've got a manager, you have to go through the process. And they're just like, no, managers are, probably you're like, no, I pay this person so that they can lighten my load so that I am not having to do all these things. So I feel like it's both ways, learning how to professionalize music as a business from the creatives, as well as from policymakers, as well as from just the general public. I think another interesting thing is this year, our government launched our National Arts Council, which is like such a it's a big deal because you've had some creatives also, really trying to push for that to be put down, and not just for musicians. The Arts Council speaks to creatives across the board. So your writers, your fashion designers, your people in film, literally. And as we speak, I know in Botswana right now, we're having our first film festival. And we've got some people from Zambia who've been brought in for that to be part and parcel of that conversation. I don't know if you know, Grace Ramsey is actually here right now. She's part and parcel of, the film festival. So there's improvements, but there's a lot to be done. And what I personally do is I use my radio experience and radio platform to push these conversations, we're bringing these conversations onto the airwaves. What can we do better? What can be done? Our country is always talking about diversifying our economy because we are big on diamonds. Look, diamonds have put us through school. We are big on beef, but how else? The creative economy makes so much money in places such as, if you think of the Cape Town Jazz Festival, just in those 4 days, the city of Cape Town makes millions across the board, not from just entertainment, but from their hospitality and even, in their retail sector. There's places where I see improvements happening over the past few years since I got into the creative space in Botswana, but there's places that could still get better across the board. Just being able to be a musician and run that as a business, and it is a business, and having government step in to make sure that the policies that are in place also make it conducive for the BW artists to be able to thrive, and also be able to thrive not just here, but also push outside the country. I mean, these are things that I'm very passionate about, and I feel that it can be done. I don't know if it can be done in my lifetime, but at least if I can make sure that in my kids' lifetime, these are things that they're seeing having been set up from policy level, because it trickles down. I mean, government has to make sure that the environment is conducive. I'm not saying they should be handing us things, but they need to make sure that the environment is conducive. The same way they focus on education, the same way they focus on health, the same way they focus on all these different sectors, they need to also be focusing on trying to use the arts as a way to diversify the economy of Botswana. Yeah.
So when did that shift happen for you? Because I know when you started out, you were kind of like resisting, like, oh my gosh, shyness and all of that. But when did that shift become like, this is a business. Let me start putting things in place. Were there people that helped you? But when did that happen?
I think it officially happened after I'd already released my first project, funny enough. Like, I knew I wanted to do music, but there were so many things that I didn't know yet. And that's fine. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes we need to start where we're not quite sure yet. You'll figure it out along the way. But I think for me, I was always blessed to have people come alongside me who always wanted the best for me. I don't know if I'm making sense. And who saw where I could be while I was still very unsure of my gift, very unsure of my voice, very unsure of my platform. I knew I wanted to do music, but I wasn't quite sure how. Now, before I put out like music such as Transition, I came alongside someone who used to be my manager and executive producer. And he was like, look, I want to help you. I don't know what we're going to do, but I want to help you, you know, also learn. And he was very adamant that I needed to learn how it's done. And I think that is very important. You know, you need to be able to have ownership as a creative. Look, I've also unfortunately met very questionable people along the way, but I've learned. I have learned. And yeah, so it happened possibly 7 years ago, where I was like, look, you need to take this seriously. But then also over time, I have been putting things in place, like your administrative things in place to make sure that it feeds into my creative process and seeing this as a business. So yeah, it's a process. And I say it's a process as well because things keep shifting. We got into COVID and things literally had to shift. We had to look at how we're gonna, you know, move forward and do music. So during COVID time, I was like, look, I need to now start finding ways to put out things digitally from home. I am not allowed to leave the space. So in that moment, I invested in like your home recording studio. You know, I have like microphones, I have a home recording software. I learned a little bit of how to record and then export my vocals and, you know, export it to like a producer so that I can work remotely. You know, I think these are part of the challenges that come with being forced to grow. But thank God for digitalization. Thank God for YouTube. Because sometimes when I didn't know what was happening, I would simply go on YouTube, go on Google and figure things out and mess up a lot along the way.
You know, okay, so in the Africana Woman, like part of our activities, we teach a personal brand course. And I love your brand. But I just want you to speak to, your brand message and the things that you have deliberately chosen to share and not share. Not to share, right? You know, aka like your family, you don't usually share pictures, especially of your husband. Sometimes you see your son somewhere running around, but you know what I mean? But yeah, just talk to us about the personal branding. Like, what has that been like for you?
It's been very interesting because I feel like my brand and my messaging has been very consistent. If you follow the messaging of it, it's been very, very consistent. And you're right. I think from the beginning, I also had to ask. I had to ask my husband, I said, do you want me to share? Because at the end of the day, consent is needed. Consent. You know, and I think that's like one word we don't speak a lot, you know, about. I had to ask him, Do you want to be posted? Don't you? He's just like, I don't want to be posted. I was like, okay, that's fine. I respect that. So I had to come from that point of view. And then for my kids as well, like I've been grappling with that over the past few years. And I think also because of, the internet is just such a wild place. Like it is so wild. I used to post my son before I had my daughter. I used to post him and like, crazy things would happen. Like this one time, my husband was with our son in a store, and like this one woman was running after him in the store, asking him what he's doing with my child. And I think then that's when I was like, okay, we're not gonna post anymore, because I think the internet is such a beautiful place, but it can be also very sketchy, because some people feel they feel they know you, which is a good or and bad thing at the same time, and they feel they can speak into the things that you share, and I guess you give them a right to speak. I mean, if you're sharing, you give them a right to speak. So I think that's why I've been also very deliberate about what I share, in terms of safety of my kids. I won't share their schools. I won't share uniforms. I won't share. And then also looking into the future, I've read of crazy stories where kids who've grown up being shared, especially, the family YouTubers who really put out their kids, where the kids become very upset that they've been shared. And so I don't want it to be a thing for me where my kids are in their 20s and they're like, you shared everything. You shared everything. Everything about our lives is shared. So I'm very deliberate about that. And also just personal branding is something that I feel has really helped me, in terms of some of the workspaces that I've found myself in. The first thing people do is they look you up. They will Google you, they will go onto your Instagram, they will go onto your Twitter and Facebook and see, what type of content does this person share? And what type of person are they? And unfortunately, sometimes what you share can literally be the deal breaker of you being able to do amazing work with amazing people. Literally because you made a joke or you took something lightly. And yeah, that's why I'm very, very deliberate about what I share. Not to say I don't have pictures and memories. I keep lots of pictures and memories, but I just don't feel we need to share everything.
Well, listen, bless her, because at least she was trying to protect him. You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing with her child? I'm gonna take her back. I don't even know where she lives. Let me take him back.
I was like, so did you think this child was made in a vacuum? This child has it's two parents. She was in the store and my husband was freaked out about it.
Oh,
He's like,
shoot.
listen, there was a woman who was following me in the store because she's like, this is Samantha's child. What are you doing with this child?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that's scary. So do your kids know that mommy's like a big deal? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what do they
My son knows. My son, over the past few years, my son has figured out, wait a minute, yo, this woman is actually a big deal. But my daughter is still three, so she doesn't she'll sing some of my songs if I'm having to play music, especially that's unreleased and we're trying to see what's the plan with the song. And obviously it'll get stuck in her head. But yeah, my son kind of knows. My son is like, okay, my mom's on radio. Okay, my mom sings. And it's so interesting because, like, even at his school, like, his teacher's always like, you're so busy. I don't know how you make time to make sure that you're coming for school things as well. The security guards, they are like, hi. So it's always so interesting, to see just the reception of his school community and also him, receiving what I do. He gets so excited when there's new music videos. But one thing that he wants to do is actually attend one of my performances. So I'm trying to see if we can make that happen. Yeah.
That's so sweet. And then I know you're also big into fitness. Is this something that like you've always done, or like did you have to like get into it? Personally, I think no, 3 months ago, that's when I'm like really starting to be like, okay, let me do this fitness thing, because I was hoping I could just, work it out with food. Eating healthy and what. But then I got to a point where I was like, no, Chulu, you need to, let's incorporate the, actual moving
Do better.
body and all of that. So I said, okay, fine. So I've been very consistent.
I think fitness for me has evolved over the past years. I don't enjoy exercising. Listen, I don't understand people who do enjoy it. But when I was a kid, I had the kiddies version of arthritis. So I couldn't do sports at school. I could not do sports. I couldn't walk for certain distances. My ankles would swell. My knees would give me problems. And I think also just looking back at that, and over time, I had to figure out, how to maneuver and, get through that hurdle. I know a few years ago, I struggled with my knees. I had to get x-rays done. And because of the arthritis that I had as a kid, they found out that my cartilage literally looked like it had potholes. So of course, when you're dealing with this information, something's gotta give. Something's gotta give. And I think, yeah, ish, that's why I said fitness is forced. It's not even, and for me, over time, it's evolved from summer bodies into I need to do this because arthritis runs in my family. I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. My grandmother had arthritis from both sides, actually. And my mom, right now, she's struggling with arthritis, especially on her hands. So, I need to make sure that health-wise, I'm eating right. Not to say I eat right all the time. but I really try at all costs to, over the years, there's been a shift. I can literally pass your fast food chain stores, even if I'm super hungry and I'm like, okay, I will not. And over time now, what I do is like when I leave home, I pack food just so that I'm not tempted to, get out of the way. Yeah, but yeah, fitness for me is very, very important. And what I started doing is I started doing kettlebell training a few years ago. It is so much fun, but at the same time, I complain throughout the whole session, but I do get it done. And then what I also did during my first pregnancy, because it was a very low risk pregnancy, I still continued training. And I remember when I was going to gym, people would look at me. They would be like, "What is this pregnant woman doing in the gym? Why is she lifting weights?" But of course, my doctor had okayed, said, "You know what, you can continue training, just reduce the weights. And then when you get to 6 months, you can't lay on your back. You can't do anything that results in you laying on your back." And I did have a trainer who's even still training me now. He specializes in kettlebell and calisthenics and boxing. So yeah, so and it really helped. I recovered from my pregnancy so quickly, so quickly. Second pregnancy, same thing. But now here's what happened. COVID hit, lockdowns hit, and now I had to see if I had willpower to work out from home. A test of character. And yeah, I continued working out from home literally until the day before I was due. I recovered so quickly. And I also realized it's very good for mental agility. I sleep better when I exercise. My thought process is clearer. So yeah, there's other benefits apart from summer bodies. You know, there's lots of other benefits. Yeah. So yeah, boxing and kettlebell training. That's my go-to. That's my go-to training.
Well, I totally get you because I am the person that complains throughout. And I got to a point where I was like, please, man.
But you get
God, I will show up even on the days I don't want to show up. I will show up. But like, why are people enthusiastic? Like, hey, yes, I'm excited. I'm like, ish, guys, I don't know about this.
Excited. You're excited
And then
about that.
that what you were saying about training yourself. Now, what I do, because I live a little bit outside of town, so I do virtual training. So
Yes.
Monday to Friday, I'm on like a call with my coach, and then he's getting me through it. Now the days when he's just like, okay, I'm gonna send you a voice note, and then it's just you yourself.
And
The
that's
only
hard,
reason.
eh?
It's hard, but you know, the only reason I do it is because I've got a son. He's 16. Well, he'll be 16 in a few days. And I'm like, he's watching me. So
Yeah.
get up and say,
And
hey, let
they
me do it.
to do. Know what you say. They do what you do, not necessarily what you say. So you, mommy, have to be the example of being a balanced human being. You are the example.
It's hard, but I get it. I so get it. Now, as we're winding down, I know you're a planner, and I'm not even surprised, to be honest, that you're studying, what do you call it? Project management, right? Because,
Yeah.
and I mean, even if you look at your career, that's like a whole project. It's like project after project, so it actually makes sense, right?
Yeah.
It makes
And that's why.
Yeah, there's lots of moving pieces. This one. But I've heard you talk about the vision, and I'm very curious, what is the vision of the Samantha Mogwe brand? Or like, you know, yeah. What is the vision?
Yo. So it's so interesting that you also talked about project management because, like you did say, it comes innately. Like it's just something that I've had to do. I've recently registered and started a project management firm. So yeah, yes, I have. And I think for me, it's also just, I think maybe out of frustration when I see people not executing things properly. And I'm like, this could have been done so much better. And maybe, I don't know if it's a lack of awareness of how to see through like projects through from, you know, the concept to actually getting it done and then winding it down. So my administrative skills are, I think it's a gift that I've been given. And so I've recently started a project management firm called Nala Project Masters. I'm excited for that. Like everything, it's registered with SEPA, businesses, bank accounts, everything, tax clearance, everything. So
Yes,
it
she's ready to go. So please, can you go and look
please.
up, okay, the company?
Please. So, and I think that just works part and parcel with what I do as a creative. And, you know, someone said, oh, you're doing too many things. And I was like, no, but there's no such thing as doing too many things. I feel like, you know, if you are gifted in many ways, why not, you know, at least see, you know, where this could lead. So it's part of the vision. It's also part of the vision of being in the background. I actually enjoy a lot of background work. Believe it or not, believe it or not, I enjoy a lot of background work. Part of the vision as well is, like I did say, allowing people and helping people put their projects together and successfully, you know, because I feel like be enjoying seeing other people's successes and seeing other people thrive in whatever modality of industry that they're in. So that's one part of the vision. In terms of music, the vision as well is to literally keep pushing boundaries to be out of Botswana, to be out of Africa, and yeah, navigating and seeing how best to do that. But also, the brand has really allowed me to have speaking platforms through radio. And that in itself has brought about me being able to sit on panel discussions and traveling and actually traveling and being able to do that and being paid to do that. Right? You're being paid to share the knowledge that you have gathered along the way. So it's the look. The vision is bright. It's looking bright. It's looking exciting. There's one thing that I like to use, like a tagline called MAD, and it's like make a difference. So whether the vision is in my speaking, how am I going to allow that to make a difference? Whether it's in my music, how am I allowing that to make a difference? Whether it's, in whatever place I find myself in, how am I making a difference?
I love it. I love it. Mad, make a difference.
Bad.
So in the Africana women community, we have a saying, which is, we have a saying as well, which is know your roots, grow your purpose. So I'm going to ask you four questions. Tell me whatever comes to mind. And then yeah, don't worry, it's not bad.
Okay.
So the first question is, what are you rooted to?
I'm rooted to God. I'm rooted to community. I'm rooted to expression in a way that doesn't take away from other people. I'm rooted to balance. I'm rooted to living your best life. I'm rooted to not being afraid to explore. Yeah, I'm rooted to a lot of things.
Okay, so what are your favorite ways to nourish your mind, your body, and your soul?
Sometimes just doing nothing. Because I hardly ever do nothing. Another way is reading my Bible. Another way is meditation. Another way is being in nature. Another way is allowing my loved ones to cook for me because I do get tired of cooking for my immediate family. So I feel nourished when, I have friends who are like, come, let me cook for you. I feel so nourished and loved. Another way is reading, even though this year my reading has really fallen off. Yo, it's fallen off. So yeah, exercise is also a way in which I nourish. Listening to music is a way of nourishing. Listening to podcasts is a way of nourishing. And sometimes just being. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have a weakness that has now become a superpower?
I used to be petrified of speaking in front of people. It was so bad. And people would be like, yeah, but you sing in front of people. And I was like, it's not the same thing. We memorize lyrics. Now speaking is so different. So what I did is then I enrolled for Toastmasters. I don't know if you know Toastmasters. So for a whole 2 years, I was doing Toastmasters, and they throw you in the deep end in terms of public speaking. And strange enough, just as I was, getting towards the end of the 2 years, then radio, the opportunity for radio came about. And I used what I'd been learning in Toastmasters to bring that into the radio platform and being able to speak and being able to articulate myself without people necessarily seeing me, because it's very different. You have to be able to be expressive, because radio, needs the theater of the mind to come to play. So I had to learn to be able to speak in public. And I think, yeah, that was it was a weakness. And I feel like now it's become a superpower over the years.
And then the final one is, what do you know as a certainty?
There's certainty, but tomorrow's never promised. Things are switching up all the time. What is a certainty? Oh,
The
that's a
certainty is
difficult.
that tomorrow is never promised, then I.
That's literally the certainty. Tomorrow's never promised.
Yeah.
And things are constantly changing. Price of fuel changes, the weather. Like right now, we're going through a heat wave. We are experiencing one of the worst heat waves this week. On Saturday, there was a storm. So even the weather's kind of like all over the place and it's never certain. So yeah, tomorrow's never promised.
I love it, love it, love it. Oh my gosh, Samantha, this has been amazing. Thank you so much. Please let the audience know, how do they connect with you? How do they follow you? How do they support you?
Easy. I made sure that across social media platforms, it is constant at Samantha Mohoi. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on X. You can find me on my website, which, by the way, needs an upgrade. But you can find me anyway. You can Google me. Find me anyway.
So wait, Mohoi, where did that name come from?
It is my dad's surname.
Ah,
So, yes.
okay.
And in Setswana, it means in-law. So, it's like a word that you call your in-law, your son-in-law, but a male in-law. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
I couldn't come up with an interesting stage name. It was, yeah, I was failing. I failed miserably.
It was on this point, like, give us something.
I couldn't. I was like, look, I don't know how these guys come up with these stage names. I don't know how, but I'm struggling. And I couldn't just say Samantha. And I was like, okay, that's not very original.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the talent that is Samantha Mohoi. Listen, this has been a fabulous conversation. I am so thankful for you taking the time to come and speak with us on the Africana Woman podcast. You're a very busy person, and I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chulu, and thank you to your team. You guys are such good communicators. Hey, very professional
Thank you.
with all the information there. So I never felt lost. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Are you mad right now? Gwalia has said, make a difference, eh? In whatever you do, anything you touch, make a difference. One of my favorite quotes is, everything that I touch turns to gold. And it is so important for you to strive for excellence in everything that you do. As they say, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So you may think that, oh, I'm only this way at work, but really it trickles down in everything, in your relationships, in the way you look after your home, and so on and so forth. So make a difference. Be mad today, all right? Africana Woman exists to help you make a difference in your life and in the lives of the people around you. We are here to support you with practical wealth and health tools, and we are here to cheer you on to keep going. Plus, we connect you with fellow like-minded, like-hearted women that you can collaborate with, because we know that you can do more when you work together. I sincerely hope that season 5 of the Africana Woman podcast has blessed you in some way, that you have learned new things, that you have taken action from what you heard, that you treat yourself gentler and softer with love. Sis, let us give our guest her roses. Please find Samantha on Instagram at Samantha Mokwe. Tell her you heard her on the Africana Woman podcast and say thank you. Take a screenshot, share it to your stories, tag us, and let us know what you learned. If the Africana Woman podcast has positively impacted you, kindly share it with somebody. Don't keep it to yourself, okay? Share the podcast with somebody. Thank you so much for being on this journey with me. I do not take it lightly that you are part of this growing community. Oh my word. You know, when I was in Ndola, the MC, Lombechiti, shout out, she asked, does anybody know Africana Woman? Do you listen to the podcast? And people put up their hands. And I don't know why this always shocks me. But yay, guys. Oh my goodness. Shout out to all the ladies that were there that are Africana women. I cannot mention all your names right now, but I loved meeting you. And I'm so excited that you are part of this community. So we are growing, we are expanding. And the way that we can even reach more people is to just share. The Africana Woman podcast is part of the Africana Woman Network. My name is Chulu, your host. Until next season, I love you, flaws and all. Live your life by design.